Alrighty, how we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Here is the poll question today, fourth and final hour of our radio program. You'll hear from Herm Edwards coming up in 40 minutes from now. But the poll question today, always at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, and at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you go follow both accounts right now if you're not. Will the Jets and Packers both make the playoffs? 8.8% say the Jets won't make the playoffs and the Packers will. 14% say both will make the playoffs. 32.5% say the Jets will and the Packers won't. And still, in first place, with 44.7% of the vote, both will miss the playoffs. Now, Hickey is saying the Jets will miss the playoffs this year. I think the Jets will make the playoffs. For the Green Bay Packers, I'm on the fence. I think they're a fringe playoff team because they're in the NFC. And here's what I'll say about Green Bay. I am rooting for the Packers this year. Go, Pack, go! Because of one person and one person only. It's Jordan Love. And I don't have a damn clue what Jordan Love's going to be as a quarterback. He's usually someone I wouldn't root for because he got the tag of highest ceiling maybe in the draft, right? He was one of those guys, which means you haven't proven it yet, but people like some of your skills. If you could put it together, maybe you'll end up being a stud. But the reason why I'm rooting for Jordan Love, Hickey, is this reason and this reason only. The last 3 years, there's been a lot of crap thrown at him. And everyone, when they wanted to speak to him, like when we had him on, all we wanted to do, right, was talk about Aaron Rodgers. We had him on in 2020. So he's had to answer so many questions about Aaron Rodgers, and he knows whatever he says, if he just misspeaks for 1 second, it gets blown up into a big deal. So I give credit to Jordan Love for the way that he handled himself the last 3 years. I know this may sound dramatic because he didn't ask for this situation. Then, yes, you are a first-round pick in the NFL, and a lot of people are jealous of you, and maybe it's not always an ideal situation. But that's a tough circumstance in sports when you have a legendary player for a franchise, a guy that a lot of fans did not like the draft pick and couldn't stand the draft pick and were yelling at the organization, and he kind of had to wear all of that the last 3 years. And the way that he handled it was admirable, and I respect the way that Jordan Love handled it. And even though if Rodgers publicly always didn't operate the best way and could put Jordan Love in a tough spot, I do think they had a really good relationship from my understanding behind the scenes. Because remember, Rodgers had to deal with pretty much the same thing going back to when he was drafted and had to deal with Brett Favre, and Favre was not very all that kind to Aaron Rodgers. So I think Rodgers, even though publicly he may have not made it any easier for Jordan Love, I think behind the scenes, him and Jordan Love had as good of a relationship you could, for knowing that guy is eventually going to replace you in a place that you wanted to play your entire career with. But in terms of Jordan Love, I love the way, no pun intended, that he handled the last few years. I don't know if he'll succeed, but I want him to succeed.
I'm not rooting against Jordan Love. I'm actually rooting against Brian Gutekunst, because I don't like his thought process and I don't want it in the end to be a net positive, meaning he took Jordan Love back in 2020.
Yeah.
It was a obviously very risky move.
Controversial.
That you could do in that situation. And as soon as he made the move, and obviously Aaron Rodgers goes off and wins the MVP in 2020, what do they do? The Packers panic and say, oh, screw Jordan Love. We're going to give you a contract extension, Aaron Rodgers. We're going to go all in on you. And then run it back, kind of same thing. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like they kind of push Jordan Love aside. And then when they finally, you know, it's like they didn't know what lane to choose. And I just don't like the fact that you take Jordan Love and you show conviction for at least one draft night and then lose that conviction for 2 years and almost, you know, regret the pick.
Well, they didn't expect him to win back-to-back MVPs. And once you win back-to-back MVPs, Rodgers could dangle out wanting a new contract, and you're kind of in a no-win position because you know you get ripped if you move on from Rodgers after winning back-to-back MVPs. But then also you still know that eventually Jordan Love is going to be your guy.
But if you believed him enough to trade up and get him in the first round, you've got to think he's going to be a really good quarterback. So even though Aaron Rodgers, yes, won one MVP and then two MVPs, I mean, they gave him a contract where at least on paper, it was supposed to carry through Jordan Love's rookie deal, meaning Jordan Love was going to be on the Packers, presumably, possibly, for 4 years, 5 years, and not play at all. And there was a chance they could have literally wasted that pick and not played him at all. Now, again, it didn't happen that way. I just don't like that you kind of made one night the move, and then you kind of scurry away from that plan, then go back to it, then, oh, do we want Aaron Rodgers, do not want Aaron Rodgers, then you bring him back, and then all of a sudden the next offseason, same question. I don't like the back and forth.
Let me just ask you this. As fans, do we value draft picks too much?
Sometimes. I don't mean for that to be a cop-out. I think they are important. I think it depends who you're picking and where you're picking and who your GM is. But I think the Rams have showed you can win in multiple ways and you don't need to build an entire team through the draft. So, yes, first-round picks, I would say, right now, not as important as they used to be.
And the Rams did go for it. Lesty, right, infamously said or famously said, F them draft picks. And they won a Super Bowl. Now, if they just held on to Aaron Donald, the Bengals offensive line, for one more second, we may look back at that in a different way if they lose that Super Bowl and then it unravels as it did after winning that Super Bowl. But it did work, so you can't take that away from the Rams. I will say this. I think sometimes once we get out of like the top 10, in the NFL at least, we get too protective with draft picks. Where it's, oh, I can't trade a first-round pick for someone. Why? You can't trade a first-round pick for someone that's proven. And I do believe that we make it, I'm not saying they're not important, but we believe it's like the end-all, be-all. And as you said, there's been instances where teams have been easily giving away draft picks to go get proven talent. And I always think that's a smart thing to do because that's kind of like a philosophy that I have. I don't want to underestimate the importance of developing young players. But in baseball, like all the time, the equivalency would be prospects. I'm always willing to give up the prospect for proven talent. Because how many times in my life has someone told me, oh, this prospect's going to be great. This prospect's going to be great. No one's ever seen him, and he ends up not even making the big leagues or is quickly in the big leagues and then is out. So if you can get proven talent, I'm always willing to trade the draft picks. And then also, if you're a team that thinks there's a player that you got to have in the draft, I'm fine with giving up future draft capital to go get that player. And sometimes it works out great, and other times it blows up right in your face. All right, let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Rodgers, do the discount double check. Aaron Rodgers says he's become wiser with ayahuasca. Oh, no, sorry, that says age.
I feel like I've grown a lot over the years. Now, some of that is the well-documented plant medicine journeys that I've talked about. But the other is perspective as you get older. And, yeah, I would say maybe earlier in my career I was a little more easily angered. And I feel like I'm a little less triggered as I've gotten older.
So I was just making a crappy joke there about the ayahuasca part, and then he goes right into it. Here's the thing. Play me the last 10 seconds of that one more time, Hickey.
A little more easily angered, and I feel like I'm a little less triggered as I've gotten older.
A little less triggered? Don't you think he gets more triggered with age? It seems as if Rodgers is very passive-aggressive, where he makes a comment, and it's not a direct comment, but it's intended and marinated with ambiguous things to make you think that he's trolling someone.
You ever go to a nursing home? You ever hear about the drama that goes on in an old folks' retirement home?
Continue.
You don't get less triggered with age, we'll say.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was wondering where you were going with
that. The drama and some of these developments, it's unbelievable, in the racquetball courts or whatever. The drama is unreal.
Mary brought her grandkids too many times. And she ate my bacon when you're looking at the buffet line. She reserved the private room too many times.
I'll tell you, my parents just moved to a 55 and up community. There's one person who got annoyed because you're not supposed to bring glass containers to the pool.
Okay.
So someone brings a bottle of beer, right? Just innocently sipping on that bottle of beer by the pool. And that person complained.
There's always one.
When you get older, you bitch about everything. Like when I was a kid, my grandparents, they live in a community. And my grandmother, there's a card room. And in the card room, there would be like candy. But like kids weren't supposed to go in the card room. So one day I went in and like grabbed some M&Ms because I heard there was candy in there. Oh, my grandmother got yelled at because I wanted some M&Ms. And I got yelled at, accosted by an old lady.
It is unreal how just you go back to like a seventh grade level in terms of drama and like what you care about. It's very petty.
Yeah. I hope my parents don't turn out that way. If that's the case, you're going to assisted living.
You're in trouble because then you got to answer for them.
Oh, no. You're going to assisted living. It'd be someone else's problem. Shut up, mom and dad. Goodbye. Aaron Rodgers, and now he's going to handle the New York media.
It's nothing like New York, so I understand that. I appreciate that. I've been in an incredible football town for 18 years. This is an incredible sports town. There's a lot of great franchises here, so I look forward to everything that comes with that.
Heck yeah, I actually kind of want to go to Jets training camp. Not that I'm a Jets fan, but I want to go on a day that Aaron Rodgers is speaking. Because say what you want about Rodgers, I do find him fascinating, this whole storyline.
Any question you would ask him? Like any question right now that you really want to hear Aaron Rodgers answer? About New York, about the Jets, about his career, about his ayahuasca, about his...
I think I'd ask him an ayahuasca
girlfriend.
Question.
Girlfriend. Girlfriends.
Oh, was the girlfriend actually a witch? Hey, Aaron. Zach Gelb here, CBS Sports Radio. Was your girlfriend actually a witch? Was that true? What the heck was going on there? You have a few brooms in your closet?
Aaron, the people demand to know, was she a witch?
Aaron Rodgers says he is not getting too ahead of himself with expectations.
We got to temper expectations early on in camp and focus on the little things to get there. An old coach of mine said our greatest difficulty is going to be handling success, and I think that'll be true this year for us because obviously last year they had a good start to the season and couldn't finish it off, and if we want to be playing in January, we got to be consistent throughout the season.
So that's what Roger says. Now let's go to the youngster. Guy just won Offensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson. He says the goal this year is to win it all.
Yeah, I ain't gonna fake it. You know, that's what we play the game for. I play to win the game. I'm not gonna beat around the bush, man. We wanna win a Super Bowl. You know, you don't make moves in the offseason like we did unless you're trying to get there. You know, that's the mindset. And like I said, you know, we want to have those expectations as athletes. And, you know, personally, I think it's okay to talk about it. You know, if you want to go get that, get it.
So I actually like both approaches where Rodgers doesn't want to set the bar too high and Garrett Wilson's like, no, bleep that. Let's go for it. Let's go get the job done. I like that. And I think both mentalities are smart, right? Rodgers, older, wiser, and then you have the younger, hungrier guy in Garrett Wilson. Justin Fields, who earlier in the week with Bryant McFadden said he's a top five rushing quarterback of all time. It's a little bit premature. But now he says he will break the all-time Bears passing record this season, once again, courtesy of the All Things Covered podcast.
The Bears have been around for 100 years. They've never had a quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
Will you break that record?
I will. Plan on doing it this year, too.
Woo!
Plan on doing it this year.
He's saying a lot of things, Justin Fields. Top five rushing quarterback of all time. Last year, he threw for 2,242 yards. He ran for over 1,000. And the most yards in a single season by a Bears quarterback is 3,838. So saying in the year of 2023 that you're going to throw for 4,000 passing yards isn't a big thing. But then how, like, if you do that, what's your rushing yards number going to look like? It's kind of like Lamar Jackson conversation where Lamar says, oh, I want to go throw for 6,000 passing yards, which is just ridiculous because that's not going to happen. But it's a big part of your game is running the football as well. Not that you can't be a really good thrower of the football, but I think there has to be a good balance there, Hickey.
I'm rooting for Justin Fields. I like him a lot. I hope he's right because we're talking about, like I said, even though it's a low bar in this day and age of 4,000 passing yards, basically, I know it's a little less, but basically he has to double his production from last year. I hope he realizes that when he's talking about all these, you know, figures and all these records he's going to break.
And don't get me wrong, you know, I think you asked me at the draft, would you rather have a second round pick early or Chase Claypool? And I said Chase Claypool. I would rather, weird how I started the segment talking about valuing draft picks too much. I think I'd rather have the second round draft pick at this point than Chase Claypool. But now you have DJ Moore, so you have a legitimate number one wide receiver. you'll improve passing the football, but to get to 4,000 yards, even though it doesn't, as you said, seem that lofty now in the NFL, I don't think that's a slam dunk this season.
Especially with an offensive line that's still questionable. So it's like if you still don't get the protection, sometimes it may not be his fault, but if you're running for your life like you were last year, you're not coming close.
Let's listen up to Lane Kiffin. He says NIL and transfer portal have been a disaster for college football.
You know, so I'm going to address the portal NIL, what I kind of call disaster that we're in. And I'm not complaining about it because we take advantage, obviously, of free agency. But at the same time, I don't think that's really good for college football. These massive overhauls of rosters every year really is not in the best interest of college football.
And Lane Kiffin says, imagine if pro sports had zero contracts.
I was just thinking on a plane ride over here. What if you had that in other sports? Tom Brady, Asia Wilson, Lionel Messi, LeBron James. What if every year those guys can opt into free agency, twice a year really, and they had no long-term contracts? Basically, everybody's not even on a one-month contract because they can leave in two windows.
So I liked most of Lane Kiffin's press conference of my herd, but this stuff I don't like. And I think it's always bad when coaches bitch about NIL and transfer portal. And here's what I would say to Lane Kiffin, Hickey, and tell me your response on this. I know there's buyouts in his contract, but there's times when coaches leave before their contract is over. So if you're going to say that you expect a player to stay for however many years with whatever money you give him, what's the difference between a coach having to stay through the duration of his contract or more time than what usually most coaches do compared to a player if he's not happy with the situation?
It's always, you know, this is bad, but don't worry about what I'm doing on my side. Right. The coaches can complain all they want about, you know, kids leaving and all that. They have to re-recruit the roster. But like you said, you can, if you're a kid, commit to a school, guy leaves the next month, and all of a sudden you're SOL.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm all for players getting paid in college. Sometimes you'll make a hasty decision in determining to transfer, but that's college. You go to college to live and learn. And sometimes you make the right decision, sometimes you make the wrong decision. And finally, here is Josh Harris, the new owner of the Commanders. He also owns the Sixers and the Devils. This is Josh Harris and his emotions after being named Commanders owner.
We're very excited to get to work and to start the new era of Washington football. And, we are humbled and awed by the level of responsibility that we have to take care of the city and to win championships and to, you know, really excite the fans again.
By the way, this is an exciting day for Commanders fans. Can we have a little bit more excitement there from Josh Harris? Who, we talk about Rob Manfred not being a good public speaker. Josh Harris isn't a good public speaker.
He's not Steve Ballmer 2.0.
Huh? Oh, no. The bathrooms, yeah! No, he's not whatsoever. I was actually in a press conference with Josh Harris, and Spike Heskin, our boss, who wasn't my boss at the time, he said Zach Gelb just put Josh Harris on verbal skates because it was after the Lion Brian Colangelo resignation with the fake burner accounts with his wife, Barbara Bottini. And I knew they weren't going to bring back Sam Hinkie, but everyone in the fan base or a lot of people fans base was like, oh, will they bring back Sam Hinkie? We all knew it wasn't going to happen. So I asked that question and he knew he couldn't say no because the fan base or a large portion of the fan base that's loud would destroy him. And he just gave like 30 seconds of, we love Sam. And it was just horrible for one Josh Harris. So I may not get a credential for any Commanders games. I'm just kidding. They didn't ban my credential or anything like that. If I try to apply for a 49ers credential, I wonder if that would be okay this year. Hey, Diva, how you doing, my man? Take a time out. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. To answer the poll question, will the Jets and Packers both make the playoffs? Both will make it, both will miss it. Jets and Packers won't. Jets won't. And Packers will, and Jets will, and Packers won't. The final calculations here, 9.5% Jets won't and Packers will. 13.8% both will make it. 31.9% Jets will and Packers won't. And 44.8% both will miss the playoffs. I should probably do Jets will and Packers won't. But I think I'm going to talk myself into, and I'm starting to talk myself into, the Packers making the playoffs this year. And I hope that the Packers make the playoffs. So I will say both will make it. The Jets will make the playoffs, and the Packers will make the playoffs. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down.
Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
So we played you some things from Lane Kiffin that I didn't like. Let's get to some things that I did like with Lane Kiffin. Here's a TV reporter, Nick Brooks at SEC Media Days, asking Lane Kiffin if he thinks they actually look alike.
Do you get called Daniel Tosh too? Okay. I get that actually too. Like I'll be walking through somewhere and somebody will be like, are you Lane Kiffin? I'll be like, no, I hate that dude. He sucks. It's really cool because the conversation's like over and you can keep moving. So, and it's run through down to my daughter. She does it now. Like, you know, she's like, I don't like all the attention, you know, because the last name. So people be like, oh, are you Landry Kiffin? And she's like, nope. I heard bad things about her, you know? And then like, so she's kind of learned that same trick too.
That's awesome. Because people know who you are when you ask that question, are you so-and-so? It's just like a way that they're going to awkwardly introduce themselves to you. But then if you fire back and say, no, that person's a jerk, I don't think people would know how to respond. And you kind of just keep it moving and go on with your day. Here's Lane Kiffin discussing why he's not happy with Paul Finebaum, who we're now calling Paul Finebum, after his comments about Nick Saban's legacy possibly being on the line this year.
That's why we have Finebaum, so he can motivate him every other year and say, oh, his dynasty's over, and you know, this is the end of Saban, and then we're like, hey, thanks a lot for pissing him off. And Paul's always wrong on this subject, so, and he just did it again the other day. You know, if he doesn't make the playoffs, you know, he's not any good as a coach. So thanks, Paul.
If coaching doesn't work out, I know he won't need the money, but you know what Lane Kiffin would be great at? Doing stand-up comedy. Because there's sometimes you get a stand-up comic that will get up there and they'll be like loud and kind of like me and nuts and crazy and zany. But I always think the best stand-up comedian is the person that speaks very softly and just rambles and is kind of dry, but them being dry is actually hilarious. That's kind of the vibe I get there, Hickey, from One Lane Kiffin.
The sarcasm is 10 out of 10. I love it. The only thing I'm shocked is that he didn't kind of throw an expletive in there. Like, thanks. Whatever, you know, what you ever want to use there. I know it's a family-friendly show, and it's SEC Media Day. You're not going to curse, but that's
Fine
kind of the...
bomb, you bleep!
That felt like the road he was going to go down.
Stunad.
Thanks, a-hole. Okay. I was waiting for it.
I know. I got to be careful with you, though. Anytime you get close to cursing, I think you're actually going to drop the curse when you use the F-word when talking about
Russell
Westbrook.
I would never.
Westbrook.
It was a one-time
that bleeping guy.
Mistake that will not happen again.
So give a stock up to the stand-up comedian, Lane Kiffin.
Left hand up, we commanders. We are commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Today's a glorious day. I'm not a Commanders fan, but I feel great for fans of that football team because the villain, the a-hole, as Hickey would say, the douche, a vile human being in Daniel Snyder, goodbye. Yeah, he gets $6 billion out the door. It's not a bad day to be Daniel Snyder, but you get your football team, take it away from you, you get kicked out of the owner's club in the NFL, and now Josh Harris is going to own another sports team. So I'm giving a stock up to Commanders fans because that is a loyal fan base and a fan base that used to be the most proud fan base in the NFL and one of the more passionate fan bases. And the last few years, it's been a lot of apathy because Daniel Snyder sucked all the life out from that team and that organization. So stock up to Commanders fans. You have a reason to believe again. And then finally, Jordan Addison, rookie, getting ready for his first training camp with the Minnesota Vikings. And we find out today, the former Pitt and USC wide receiver who won the Biletnikoff Award a few years ago, that he was driving 140 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. He's lucky he didn't hurt himself. He's lucky he didn't hurt someone else. What an absolute idiot. You know, I understand if you want to go a little bit fast in your Lamborghini, but you're going a buck 40? Are you serious? What an idiot. Stock down to Jordan Addison. And that is the closing bell. And of course, this is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.